stuff. He's putting a watch up there.
No.
I'll quit doing that.
May not need one of those anyway. I mean, I'm thankful to be here with you tonight. Yeah. I'm not going to be real formal about it because I kind of feel like I'm home, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really a pleasure today to get to see a lot of the folks and see a lot of you that we have known over the years and haven't been with and haven't seen much. But it's been a real blessing for me to get to see a lot of folks again, see a lot of you here tonight. Some faces we know and some folks we don't. But it's a great privilege for me to be here with you. My father-in-law was Elder Hartz Casey, and we'd go off on preaching trips together a lot before he passed away. And just about the time they were about halfway through the last song, Brother Casey would lean over to me and said, "Son, why did I tell these folks I'd come over here?" y'all understand what I mean when I say this, but everybody ought to have to preach once.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brother Jones saying, all right, everybody ought to have to preach once. There's a preacher that I knew several years ago, and he had a member of his congregation, and he said, he came up to him one Sunday after church. He said, "You know this preaching business y'all do?" He said, "There's nothing to that." He said, "I always talk about praying and studying and all that." He said, "All you do is just get you up something, read you a few verses, and get you up something, get up and stand and preach. There's nothing to it." So his pastor said, "Well, why don't you just preach next Sunday then?" He said, "I believe I will." He said, "Okay, go right ahead." So he said, "You have all week to study." So next Sunday morning, the man walks in the church, and the pastor said, "Well, are you ready?" He said, "Yes, sir. I sure am." He said, "Well, it's yours today. You're going to get it." So he opened the services for the brother and said, "Brother so-and-so is going to preach for you today." And the man got up. And when he got up, he didn't just get up and open his Bible. You know, like he got up and just did that kind of thing, you know. You know, he's ready to go. And he looked at it, looked at his Bible, and he said, "I want to read to you from And he looked over his pastor, he said, "I think I need to sit down." Pastor said, "Yeah, you need to sit down, all right." And that cooled his jets.
Yeah.
He never had to hear that from that man again, you know. I heard a man say one time about this woman that was complaining about preaching so much to the pastor. He said, "I'm going to go home and pray the Lord cause your son to preach." You know, you never know about those things. So I don't say that to be, to be funny or anything, to be serious about it, but I do say it because, as an old fellow said, somebody said today, about the, "You're not going to ever learn this preaching business." There was an old black preacher down there in Arkansas one time that said, "This preaching business is a funny business." Now, for the Lord to call an idiot like me to preach, it's got to be of the Lord. Okay? You know, and I trust, and I've begged the Lord now for almost 45 years. You know, I'm still a kid at this. You know, I can't count the number of butterflies I have in my stomach right now. And I'm 63 years old. Nothing's supposed to scare me too much, you know. But I'm not scared. I've got a message the Lord bless us that we'll try to bring to you. But if he blesses us, that's the part that we, you know. So we pray that you'll continue to pray.
Amen.
While I'm before you, while Brother Blair's, Elder Blair's before you, that the Lord will bless us and bless you.
Amen.
Now you see, you think you got it easy. Because you're out in the pew, see. What you don't realize is, your job is just as difficult as mine.
Amen.
And his.
Right.
We have to preach. You got to pray.
Yeah.
Okay? Powerless pews come from, excuse me, powerless pulpits come from prayerless pews.
Come on, man. That's right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Powerless pulpits come from prayerless pews. Like the old preacher said, "You need, I need your prayers and you need to practice."
Amen.
Okay?
Right.
So I'm not going to say any more about it. Pray. Please. Okay? Now, first of all, I trust that tonight, if I say something that does not agree with your theology, that you will cast the mantle of charity over me and be charitable to me in your judgment of me. Some of you don't know me, and you may think that I'm trying to spread some kind of evil doctrine, and I'm not. Some of you that do know me may think that Brother Frank's just off in the head a little bit, and I'm not trying to be. Okay? I'm not trying to. But I'm saying that I realize this, and I will give this disclaimer up front. I realize that not everybody agrees with my position on this tonight. Have you, Brother Charles, have you ever heard a preacher preach that you agreed 100% with everything he said? So, I'm not saying this tonight to be controversial. I want to prove a scriptural point. And I ask your prayers, for your prayers. And I will be out of your hair pretty quickly. What I want to talk to you tonight about is the difference between regeneration and conversion. Now the problem with this, you say, well, we're used to those terms. Regeneration, being born again. And we're used to that word regeneration. But the problem is that in today's religious world, they're used interchangeably.
Right.
And they're not.
Right. Amen.
Regeneration means one particular thing, and conversion means something totally different.
Right. Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, we're together this far, all right? So we're good. All right, now. And all the major, we understand these are, that's a major doctrine, okay? Regeneration, being born again of the Holy Spirit of God by direct visitation of God's Spirit in the heart of a child of God that quickens the dead faculties of their soul.
Right.
Amen.
Y'all buy that so far?
Amen.
Okay? My dad used to say, we worked together, he was a carpenter and we built houses together. And I'd cut a piece of lumber and carry it to him. He'd nail it up there. I says, it fit? He said, yeah. So you buy that? He said, I buy that. So you buy that, we're all right so far. Okay, regeneration is that act of God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, and we could talk about, there are several qualities. I don't use my left arm much because I had shoulder surgery. And so I'm not able to use it a lot really good yet. So if you don't see me using my left arm, it's not because I don't have one. It's just it hurts a little bit. All right, now I guess I could hold on to this. Regeneration is that one particular event in the life of a child of God when they are born of the Spirit of God.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now there are several characteristics to that. Okay? One of those characteristics is that it is effectual.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, when I was a kid, my pastor, Elder Dudley Stovall, would preach on the effectual calling of the Spirit. Okay? I had no idea what that meant. 12 years old before I went to ask him. I said, Brother W., what do you mean by effectual calling? Yeah. He said, son, it's just what it says, that the calling of the Spirit of God will have the desired effect.
Amen. Right.
And he sent me to the 55th chapter of Isaiah, where it talks about God sending the rain and the snow from heaven, and how that it waters the earth, that it may give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. And notice what it said, that the earth cannot reject the rain.
Amen. That's
right. When God sends the rain upon the earth, friend, it has the desired effect. Now around here sometimes y'all get too much of it.
Yeah.
But it still goes somewhere, and it does there exactly what God meant for it to do.
Yes.
So here's the thing about it. It's effectual, an effectual calling, that it has the desired effect. And the earth can do no more than just receive the rain and the snow.
Amen.
That's right.
That's all it can do is receive. It can't turn it back. You've never seen the earth turn a raindrop back. You've never seen the earth reject a flake of snow.
That's right. Right.
All it can do is just receive it.
Amen.
And friend, when a child of God is born of the Spirit of God, all they can do is just receive it.
Amen.
To the glory of God.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Paul talks about it this way. In Philippians 3:12, he says, I was apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That word apprehended. Yeah. Interesting word.
Yeah.
Y'all ever looked up that word apprehended? Apprehended is such an interesting word. Have y'all ever seen cops on TV? That cop show, you know? And I see these guys, bless their hearts, they get out there and they got a runner, you know. And they chase that guy down. They huff and puff, you know, because they're about as big as I am. And they chase that guy down and they grab his ankles and he goes down and buries his nose in the dirt. And they get up on his back with their knees and they get those handcuffs out. And they pull his, find him, you know, and get his wrist back there, put those handcuffs on him, and they take him back to that car. And when he gets to that car, you know what he does? He gets in there and sits down in that seat.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's apprehension.
Amen.
Yeah.
Apprehension is not have the man run off from his car, and you stand there at the police guard and say, come on back now.
Right.
Will you please come back and let me apprehend, let me come back and let me put you in my police car, carry you to the police station, book you and put you in jail. That's not apprehension.
No,
it's not.
But that is what man's gospel, about as much, is about as good as man's gospel is. Sinner, if you'll just come to the Lord.
Yeah.
You just pray the sinner's prayer. Have y'all ever found that?
No.
Brother Charles, have you found the sinner's prayer in the Bible? I cannot find it either. They make up this thing that's the sinner's prayer. I don't see it anywhere. I don't know where they got it. I know where it comes from.
Right.
It'll make you feel like you're there if you stick around with it. But they pray the sinner's prayer. Just accept Jesus, sinner. Ask Jesus into your heart. Be baptized into our church. Whatever it is. All these conditions. You know what that's like? That's like a policeman going to his car and saying, come on back now. Come on back. I got to take you to jail. Please cooperate. That's not apprehension.
No.
You look that word up in your Strong's. That means to go after something and get it and catch it and overcome it.
Yes.
And make its will your will.
Right. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And Paul said, I have been apprehended of Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
That means Paul's will was one thing one day, and Jesus overcame him and overtook him and made his will, Paul's will, his will.
That's right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Paul had one will when he left Damascus, going to Jerusalem, didn't he?
Right.
Binding, cast into prison, all those called upon the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
When he got there, Jerusalem to Damascus. When he got to Damascus, did he have the same will that he left Jerusalem with?
No, he didn't.
Had a different will, didn't he?
Amen.
Something happened in the meantime, didn't it?
Amen.
Now here's where y'all may disagree with me. I say it was regeneration.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
I'll have that. I do not believe that Paul was converted on the road to Damascus.
Amen.
I believe he was born again.
Amen.
He was apprehended of God on the road to Damascus. He was born from death to life. And here is the point. In every major Bible doctrine, the Bible gives us a picture of that doctrine.
Right.
Doctrine of baptism, all through the New Testament. Jesus teaches on it. The apostles teach on it. In doctrine, major Bible doctrine, there is an event that portrays that doctrine.
Right.
Mercy, love, grace. Bible's full of it. Okay? Now, I am saying that I believe the Bible to put this picture of the apprehension of Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus is the picture of God apprehending a dead alien sinner.
Amen.
And making him a child of God.
Amen.
Right. If it's not, then where is it? And who is it?
Yeah.
If that's not it, where is it? Are we going to leave that doctrine out and God's not going to give us a picture of that doctrine?
No.
So what I want to give you tonight is just a little bit you get your Bible ready, brother. Acts chapter that's not where I want. I want Acts chapter 22. And I'm just going to read this real quick. Acts chapter 22, beginning in verse 7. I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord?
Yes.
And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. If he already knew Jesus of Nazareth, why did he have to introduce himself?
Right.
Amen.
And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. That's individual, particular.
Amen. Yes. Right.
Okay?
That's right.
In other words, I'm not going to say, be born again.
Right.
You know, and all of you drop on the ground and start kicking, you know, foam at the mouth. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which are appointed for thee to do. And what I could not see for the glory of that light, Bandit, you know that was a glorious light.
Amen.
What I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. Totally different will. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Now you know the backstory of that. God told Ananias, you go out and you find this man and you go preach to him. And Ananias said, wait a minute, Lord, I know about this fellow. He's the one that binds and casts into prison. Everybody that believes on you. He's the one to kill people like me. What did the Lord say? He is a chosen vessel unto me. In other words, Ananias, you let me worry about that.
Amen.
See, here's the thing about it, folks. God knew Saul of Tarsus long before Saul of Tarsus knew anything about it.
Right. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Have you ever heard the old saying, God works on both ends?
Amen.
He does.
That's right.
He does. In the house of Cornelius. That's right. The house of Cornelius, first time the gospel preached to the Gentile. I'm not going to chase rabbits. I'm sorry. Y'all know that story. I can't get through this quickly and chase rabbits. And one of Ananias and about that. Okay. And he said, the God came unto me and stood, and said unto me, Brother Saul, when the Lord told Ananias, behold, he prayeth.
That's right.
Ananias said, that's a man I can work with.
That's right. Amen.
That's a man I can work with.
Yep.
That's all I need to hear. He prays.
Right.
Amen.
You find a good praying man, you can do something with him, see?
That's right.
A prayer is a seeker.
Amen.
Right? A prayer is a seeker.
Yep.
Show me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Seek him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up on him, I looked up upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. See, there's the witness of it. There's our witness of it. Okay? For thou shalt be his witness. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not scared of that text. Y'all aren't either.
No, not at all.
Why do you tarry? It's the best old Baptist text. One of the best ones in the book.
Amen. Right.
To those who believe the doctrine and love the Lord and love the people of God and believe it, why do you tarry?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins.
Amen.
That's not washing away your sins, the filth and the death of your sin eternally, but that's giving you a new perspective.
Yes.
Amen.
You've got to wash away your sins. Receive that new perspective. Well, Paul says the newness of life. Not the new life, but the newness of life.
Yeah.
Okay? Why do you tarry? Somewhere along the line, we have lost that message.
Amen.
We don't say, why do you tarry? Like Ananias told Paul. We don't do that. Why do you tarry? Why do you tarry? Why do you tarry?
Right.
Do you have an answer? Is there an answer? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, I had a sister tell me one time, she said, Brother Buttry, I want to be baptized, but I don't want to be baptized in a baptistry. I said, okay, most people do, but if you don't, that's all right. May I ask why? She said, I want to be baptized in running water. I said, well, I'll run some water in my bathtub and open up the drain, and it'll run on you and run right out. She said, no, I don't mean that. I mean like in a stream, a running stream. I said, may I ask you why you want to be baptized in a running stream? She said, well, I just like to think that my sins are just floating on down in the stream. I said, sister, if that's what you think baptism is, we need to talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to hear one more sermon on it, before, if that's what we think that is. Brethren, all the filth you have that will separate from you, God, eternally, was washed clean by the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That plus nothing, as the songwriter said, nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. I'm not clinging to that piece of wood, but I'm clinging to what happened there. I'm clinging to the effects of the shed blood of Christ, and that only.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's what he's talking about there. I spent more time with verse 16 than I wanted to. Verse 17, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And that's Paul saying some more things. Okay, so basically here we see the calling of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, later called the Apostle Paul. Okay? That's an apprehension.
Amen.
That's God taking him over,
yeah,
and making his Paul, Saul's will his will,
right,
vice versa.
Yeah.
He said, He did this to you so that you would know his will.
Amen.
Saul of Tarsus didn't care about God's will when he was Saul of Tarsus, and I can prove it to you. You say, you sure you can do that, huh? Well, I'm going to try. Acts chapter 26. And then I want to get back over to John, Gospel of John, a little bit. Okay. Now, y'all, you Bible folks, we got your Bibles. I just stuck my finger on my glasses. I've got them. Thank you. I can't see anything when I do that. All right, y'all, excuse me. I'm sorry. I just went right there. Okay, Acts chapter 26. This is Saul, or Paul, before Agrippa. Agrippa said unto him, verse 21, Paul said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. See, he had a right to do that.
Right.
Now, I want to go to verse 9. We'll fast track this. Verse 9. Now, those of you who have your Bibles and you're reading along, Acts 26. Now, put your finger over on John 16. And just kind of hold that, okay? Acts 26 and verse 9. I verily thought, this is Saul, or Paul, I verily thought with myself, I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. In other words, they said, you curse God or I'll cut your head off.
Right, yeah.
That's what being compelled to blaspheme means. Alright, now, notice what he said. I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Many of the saints which I did shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Now, some people say that Saul of Tarsus was born again during this time, but he was just acting in ignorance. He was a child of God, he was just acting in ignorance. Just hadn't seen the truth yet. Okay? I call my first witness. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. John chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you that you should not be offended. Look at this now. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Did Saul of Tarsus do that?
Yes.
He said he did. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you. Did he kill him?
Right.
He said he did.
Yeah.
And that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. Did he think he should do many things to serve God contrary to the name of Christ? He said he did.
Yeah.
Okay, these are three counts. Now look at the next verse. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me.
Amen.
Does that sound like he was just in ignorance?
No.
They will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me.
Yeah.
Okay. Regeneration. God overcoming his child. Apprehending them in grace.
Right.
And you see what people don't like about that is the next part. He makes your will his.
Right.
I'm not going to give up my will to anybody. Man told me one time, he said, I like what y'all preach. He said, but I can't take it all. He said, I just want to have something to do with my own salvation.
Wow.
I said, well, brother, have at it. You know, if that's what you're thinking, that's the way you feel about it. You know, he'd heard me try to preach for a couple of years, and he came across all that stuff. We need to go back to the woodshed again. Okay, now, notice this. Okay, so we're going to talk about regeneration and conversion. I'm going to get 5 minutes here, Lord willing, and we will do the... We'll look at conversion. Okay, what I want to say to you is this. That God... that God does not use... the means of man in regeneration.
Amen.
Amen.
Gospel, whatever. Joining a particular church, being baptized by a certain preacher, whatever. Being baptized, running water, I mean, whatever you'll call it. God does not use the instruments of mankind in regenerating, born again, his people.
Amen.
Okay? Just flat out, he does not. But in conversion, God does use folks like us.
Amen.
Yeah.
You preachers may have converted many people to the truth in your preaching. Now they may never have followed in gospel baptism or whatever, but you may have converted them, maybe not in the fullness of it, but partially.
Yeah.
Okay? Right. If you could, I heard a man one day that we had a fellow visiting us, and he had one of my tapes in our van, and then that a couple of days later we had a school event, and I gave my van to use to haul kids, and that tape was still in the tape player, and I didn't know it. I didn't think about it. And we got to the event where they're taking the kids that day, and the guy driving our van said, Frank, he said, was that you preaching on that tape in the van? I said, oh no, was that on? He said, yeah. He said, you know, I kind of enjoy that. He said, I'm going to be honest with you, I've never heard that before. And what I was trying to preach on was in Acts, in the book of Acts, where the apostles went and preached to the Gentiles and told them, we believe that I'm not going to get into it.
Our hearts by faith.
Yeah.
Communion is ordained for eternal life.
No. Let me just turn around and get into it. I actually turn around and get it real quick. I thought I could remember it, but I can't. Here it is, Acts chapter 15, verse 11. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Okay? That doesn't say that they're gonna be saved the same way we are.
Right.
See, the missionaries go all over the world saying, you gotta be saved like I am. These are people who never heard the gospel. I'm showing goodness, they worship sticks. They worship rocks, they worship frogs. He didn't say that you have to be saved the way I am. He said, I'm saved the way you are.
Yeah.
I'm saved the same way those folks that are worshiping frogs and sticks and rocks and trees.
Yeah.
I'm saved the same way they are. That's got to be by grace.
Amen.
Right.
Got to be by grace. Okay, now. So, I got to hurry here real quick. I'm about a minute. That the conversion is what we learned about conversion, what Ananias did for Saul of Tarsus. Okay? He went to him, told him the amount of truth that he could handle at that time, and then the scales fell from his eyes.
Right.
Okay? And in other words, he could see.
Amen.
Okay? Like the fellow said about the little puppies that just opened their eyes one day, and the old preacher came by and said, "Well, they're not this kind of puppy. Now they're old Baptist puppies." He said, "Well, why do you say that?" He said, "Because they got their eyes open." I'm not going to tell you what other kind of puppies he said, but he said they're old Baptist puppies. See, here's where Ananias had a thing to play, a part to play in his conversion. Not regeneration.
No, that's right.
If Ananias had gone to him a week earlier, he'd have put Ananias in jail probably.
Yeah.
But God's time is perfect. Okay? So Ananias had a big part in the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. People are used of God. And here's the thing about it, folks. You don't ever know when God might be using you.
Amen.
Amen.
To convert somebody. He said, "Well, I'm not a preacher." Didn't say you were. In fact, I'm talking to those of you that aren't.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
God uses you to convert people just as much as He used ministers.
That's right.
Any believer, you can convert anybody. I mean, you can be used to convert anybody.
Amen.
Okay? Now, one of the things the brother talked about today, just like the devil's patient, and man, he's the most patient rascal. He'll wait generations.
Right.
Yes.
He will. But on the other hand, we need to be patient too.
Amen.
We might be trying to convert somebody, and you got to be patient.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to be easy, and you have to go kind of slowly. But you know what? If God's in the matter, it's worth it.
Easy.
Amen.
Right.
It's worth it. Because you think about this. You believe the way old Baptists believe, and you're hunky-dory, you're a member of the church and all that. Somebody converted you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe it was your pastor converted you. Maybe you didn't believe you need to be baptized, and he preached on baptism one day and showed you the right way. That's conversion.
Amen.
Difference in regeneration and conversion. God works alone in conversion. God uses people. God works alone in regeneration. God uses people in conversion.
Amen.
I thank you for your kind attention. God bless you. Come ahead, brother.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.